Exodus, please, in your Bible. Second book of the Bible, page 114 in your Scofield Bible, chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, beginning with verse 21 and reading through the 26th verse. Exodus chapter 32, verses 21 through 26, the 24th verse being the text verse. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Read these verses responsively. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Let's pray, please. Father, bless the service. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word. We were privileged just now to stand and read it together. Thank you for that wonderful privilege. Thank you for the hearing of thy word. We are about to be privileged with that once again. Help us to count our privileges dear and help us to take advantage of them. Help us to listen tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll speak tonight on the subject, the fire. The fire did it. The fire did it. By the way, tonight I can see only college men who have emergencies. Only college men who have emergencies. The fire did it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as we examine this portion of thy word in a real way. Speak to our hearts tonight and do to us what we need to have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses, the leader of the people of God, is now in our story on Mount Sinai. He is there to receive the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone, the law of God, and instructions for the building of the tabernacle, the house of God. Moses brings the tablets of stone, written on stone, given from heaven by the very hand of God. That to me is a marvelous thing. I don't know of anything in the Bible that is any more marvelous than, I mean, you know what? I would rather have seen that than to have seen the fire fall on Mount Carmel. I would rather have seen that than to have seen the drying up and the crossing of the Red Sea. Boy, I'd love to see something in God's handwriting, wouldn't you? And these were tablets of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments, and they're written in the handwriting of God Himself, and these tablets were brought or sent are delivered from heaven to Moses. Now Moses has been gone quite a while, and without the leader, the people went into sin. When the cat was away, the mice did play, and now Moses comes back. While Moses was gone, the people had taken off their golden earrings and brought them together and placed them in a mold so that they could, that the mold was shaped like a calf. And the earrings were placed in there, the golden earrings were placed all together and melted and made into the shape of a calf. Now, why were they made in the shape of a calf? Because these same people had just been in the land of Egypt, and they had been a part of the Egyptian heathen worship And they worship the cow. In fact, they eat all the time, at any given moment. They had a particular sacred cow, just like the Catholics have a pope, and one dies, another comes on the scene. They had the same thing for a sacred cow. In fact, you go back to the city of, a little place of Memphis, where Memphis used to be, in Egypt, and you'll find there, down underground, the tombs of those sacred cows. The succession of those cows, just like you have papal succession. Some countries have divine right of kings and so forth. And so these cows are buried there. Well, these Israelites, though they're now in the wilderness, and though they now are on their way to the promised land, without their leader, they want to go back. You know, I hope that's the thing, one thing that I mean to this church. I hope that I am successful at keeping you from going back into sin, back to the old life, back to the old country. God, if God says anything about disdain for mistakes made by the people of God, it has to do with people that go back. He that puts his shoulder to the plow and doesn't follow on, the Bible says, and turns back, is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Never turn back. We have some college students right now, cowards, just about to turn back. Just about to show that they don't have what it takes. And like yellow-bellied cowards with no courage and no fortitude and no stick-to-it and no perseverance are just about to turn back. But you say, don't say that to me. Well, hush up. Never turn back. Never turn back. Never turn back. You're not the first person who want to turn back. Every time the Jews got in trouble, they wished they were back in Egypt. They said, we want the onions and the cucumbers and watermelons and leeks and garlic of Egypt. Now then, they want to go back to Egyptian worship. And they build themselves a golden calf. Now, Moses is coming back from Mount Sinai. And Moses begins to hear some noise. The Bible says the people sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to play. Now, this is no time to be drinking and eating and party. That's what it means here. They're partying. This is no time to be partying. They're man of God. He's up on Mount Sinai. They ought to be praying for him. They ought to be anxiously waiting for him to return with the commandments of God written by the handwriting of God on tablets of stone or handed down from heaven. And so, but they rose up, sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Now, when Moses got back, Moses got close to the people, he began to hear music. Now, I don't have time to go into it, but it's the same music that we call rock music today. Same music. You see, the devil has nothing new. The devil's methods have always been the same. And the Egyptian music, the same music that they were playing, was Egyptian music. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you get out of Egypt, you're not supposed to have Egypt religion anymore. And you get out of Egypt, you're not supposed to have Egypt music anymore. Now, if you're bound for the promised land, you sing the songs of where you're going and not the songs where you came from. Now, I don't care what you say. I don't care how many of you kids don't listen to the preacher. Rock music is of the devil. I said rock music is of the devil. I said rock music came straight from hell. I said rock music is wrong. I said rock music is sinful. And I said you're going to face God for every time you listen to it. I said rock music is of the devil. I said rock music is of the devil. Well, you sound like you're saying that over and over again. I said it over and over again for one reason, because that's what rock music does. It takes the same old beat over and over and over again, and the same ungodly, filthy, licentious words over and over and over and over again. And so Moses comes back down to the mount. He has with him the tablets of stone. Why, you'd think the people of God would be sitting on edge. You'd think they were standing up at the limits, waiting for Moses to come back. Let us see those tablets of stone. Let us see the handwriting of God himself. Why, you say, preacher, boy, I'd have been doing that. I got news for you. I've got the handwriting of God in my hand right now. And yet you sit there and listen to that dirty rock music. And I want every person in this house tonight who's under 21 years of age to hear me. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me well. And you'll never shut me up, and you'll never cause me not to preach against it. It's time that young people listen to decent music. But you say young folks will be young folks. If listening to rock music is being young folk, you ought not to be a young folk. Now, the same music,
that you hear on the radio and the rock station, the same music, is exactly what they were singing when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. Then the Bible says that Moses came on down, and then he said he saw some dancing. Now, I'm not going to take time, nor could I, without my library. But I could show you that the dancing that they were doing is exactly the same kind of rock and roll dancing going on in America now. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. And rock and roll dancing and rock music was not invented in our generation. It's just coming back around again, that's all. It's the same old Satan-inspired, hell-fostered, sensuous, godless, wicked, vile, hell-bound music that they sang in Egypt, and every nation that's ever been destroyed has been, Plato said, if you want to destroy a nation, you get its music. And there's nothing, listen, there's nothing that's been used of Satan to destroy our nation. And brother, she's just about destroyed. And there's nothing that's been used for the destruction of this nation like rock music has. If I were to take one single thing that's done more to destroy this music, I'd say rock music. Rock music has caused our illicit, permissive society. Rock music has had a great deal to do with our homosexual mess. And San Francisco, Key West, gathering of the homosexuals and the lesbians and all that. I'm saying that Moses came down from the mountain, and first, they had their own religion. They had wanted to go back to the religion where they came from. And then they had their wicked music, and then they had their dancing, the same kind of dancing that you'll see on television, on these dancing programs, and same dancing. Now, also, the Bible says they were naked. They were naked. When I finish this sermon tonight, if you make a motion to vote me out of this church, and I knew it, if I mentioned ladies revealing their thighs and their midriffs and part of their breasts in public, if I knew tonight I'd get voted out of this church when I finish preaching tonight, if I mentioned anything about rock music, or if I called it satanic, and if I knew I were preaching the last sermon in the pastor of this church, unless I hush my mouth about mixed bathing and ladies wearing shorts in public and rock music and rock and roll dancing, if I knew it, I'd stand up here for 3 hours and scream and holler against these things. Oh, our nation needs some old-fashioned men of God to call us back to righteous living again. So down comes Moses from the mountain. By the way, you little punks that go to Hammond Baptist School and go home and listen to your rock music. Only people I have less respect for you than you are the people who let you do it, the moms and dads that let you do it. How pitiful, how wicked, how vile. Some of you visitors say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not coming back here anymore. That's why I'm plucking your tail feathers while you're here. You say, this is pretty strange preaching to me. Don't confess your sin to me or where you've been going to church. America needs some old-fashioned holiness preachers. America needs some old-fashioned separatist preachers. America needs some old-fashioned preachers to call us back to decency and right. And so Moses comes down. Now, here's a false religion. They have the old golden calf reminding them of Egypt. Now, they've got the Egyptian music. Now, they have the Egyptian dancing. Now, they have the Egyptian dress. And now, they have the Egyptian playing. And now, they have the Egyptian nudity. And bless God, they're going to go to the Egyptian hell if they don't get right with God. And so Moses comes down. And so, he says to Aaron, good night, what's going on here? Aaron says, well, he said, we got our earrings together, and we just threw them in this little bowl here, and said to our complete surprise, a calf came out. And Moses took the tablets of stone, and threw them on the ground and broke them. And he said, you've broken the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. And he said, you've broken the first two commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And Moses said, okay, if you've broken the commandments, I'll picture it by throwing them on the ground. And they're broken. But I want you to notice this. Aaron said, the fire did it. Our text tonight shows that, if I can find it. It shows it. It said, and I said unto him, whosoever hath any gold let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. The fire did it. And that same excuse is all over this room tonight. The fire did it. I didn't do it. I didn't know I was doing it. The fire did it. It wasn't me. Well, look, they wouldn't, if they hadn't made that mold into the shape of a calf, wouldn't then a golden calf come out of that thing? And so on. But they said, the fire did it. Here's a profane young man. He lives a wicked life. His language is dirty. His behavior is immoral. His songs are rock music and ascension. And his morals are gone. And you say, young man, what's your trouble? Well, he says, it's this wicked age. It's this wicked age. It's not like it used to be. That's why I have my long, shaggy hair. That's why if I didn't have a beard, you couldn't tell me from a female. It's this wicked age. You see, in school, the influence was bad. Let me stop and say this. You know, we've gone too far on that stuff. We really have. I mean, you'd think that if a kid can't afford to go to Christian school, that he has a right to turn out bad. You kids over here that go to public schools, you're going to answer to God for the way you turn out as much as you went to a Christian school. I mean, we've just about gone to seed on this thing. I mean, the only way you can turn kids out is to send them to a Christian. I've said it before and I say it again. You give your kid the right kind of training at home and he'll make it without a Christian school. He'll make it better with a Christian school. But I want to say we've gone too far with this thing. And the fellow said, well, at work people are vile. How do you expect me to turn out to be anything but vile? My home life wasn't happy, and we had a TV, and we watched home movies, and the movie houses, and the Playboy magazines on all the counters, and the filthy talk where I worked. And I wasn't taught character by my dad. I just turned out this way. The fire did it. No, the fire didn't do it. My Bible says every man is going to give an account of himself to God. And the fact that you didn't have a Christian home or the fact that you didn't have love in your home is no excuse for you not turning out right. And the fact that you didn't go to a Christian school is no excuse for you not turning out right. The Bible said every one of you shall give account of himself to God. Here's a member of a minority race. And he steals and loots. He's profane and lazy. And so you say, what's wrong with you? Well, he says, I wasn't given any opportunities. I had poor housing. I was discriminated against. I would be a good man, but didn't have a chance. And the truth is, foolish judges and politicians all across America are giving people a right to commit crime because they didn't have it very good where they grew up. Now, you're going to have to answer to God. I mean, the fact that you're black or maroon or chartreuse or pink or yellow or brown or red doesn't matter. You're going to give an account to God. And by the way, anybody's heard me preach one time has enough reason to turn out right okay anyhow. All you do is just come here and sit in this room. You've got enough reason to turn out right. And by the way, if you didn't sit in this room, Bibles are for sale everywhere on every bookstore in America, just about. I'm saying we've just about gone to seed about this thing. The fire did it. I was put in the fire. And the fire of hardship. And the fire of poverty. And the fire of unemployment. The fire did it. Here's a young lady. She's immoral. She's impure. She's not a lady. She's a female, but not a lady. And she said, somebody said, what's wrong? Why did you do it? Well, she said, because they're hypocrites in the church. Well, let me tell you something, honey. Those same hypocrites are in the same church of the other young ladies that do right. But the fire did it. Went through the fire. I'm a victim of this age, she said. We had no love at home. Okay, if you hadn't loved at home, you got a Bible that says, for God so loved the world. The fire did it. My parents never said, I love you. The fire did it. You know what? America needs a generation of old-fashioned leather-lung preachers to remind people that every man has to face God and face God for his own sin. Sure, we ought to train young people. Sure, we ought to have Christian schools. Sure, we ought to send our kids if we can. But I want to tell you something tonight. You have no right to blame the fact that you had no love in your home, the fact that your dad never told you he loved you, the fact that your mother was a harlot. You have no right. You're going to face God for yourself. Now, your rewards won't, your punishment won't be as great as they would have been had you had opportunities. But in the final analysis, there is something even in the conscience of man that tells him it's wrong to do wrong. And you're going to face God for that conscience God's given. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. The fire did it. We were poor. The fire did it. We didn't have love at home. The fire did it. Here's a college student turning back. And the college student's quitting, going home. By the way, kids, young people, you go ahead while you're young and start turning back, and you'll never finish anything as long as you live. Little old excuse for a man came in my office last week. And he said, Pastor, I'm about to become an assistant, I think he said, to an evangelist. First place, fellow's been to college a year and a half, he is not ready to become an assistant to an evangelist. I mean, you still got wet behind your ears. And he said, I want your advice. And I said, stay! Finish what you start! He said, I've always been taught, you're supposed to follow the Bible in what you do. So would you show me in the Bible that I'm supposed to stay? I said, no, I won't. And I want to talk to somebody else. You know, the honest truth is the whole Bible's full of finishing what you start. And the whole Bible's full of preparing before you go out. By the way, the same verse in the Bible is probably the same one. It's the one that gave him a right to talk back to the pastor. Now you listen to me. Listen to me. Hear me here! Hear me! Hear me! Hear me! You are not going to ever finish anything if you start your life turning back. You're not. But you say, well, huh? I have no work. Yeah, I know the fire did it. But you say, well, how? I'm not well. Yeah, I know. The fire did it. But you say, nothing's turned out right since I got here. Yeah, the fire did it. It's not your fault. You're not a quitter. The fire did it. Brother Hiles, I just don't enjoy the cold weather. The fire did it. Well, I'm just not a good student. Yeah, the fire did it. Well, I know, but Brother Hiles, you understand, I'm financially broke. Well, bless God, if everybody that's not financially broke in this room tonight walked out, we could meet in the telephone booth down on the corner. The fire did it. I'm not a quitter. The fire did it. I didn't make this golden calf. The fire did it. I'm not going to turn back. The fire did it. Going through the fire is what did it. Let me tell you something. Going through the fire is the answer. Well, I've been going through the fire. Good. Then you're going to hang around. No, you've not been going through the fire. You've been going to the fire. Going through the fire means you stay. That's through. Means you was over here. Now, after a while, you're going to be over here. You went through it. And that's it. But you've not been going through the fire unless you stick it out. The fire did it. Pastor. A pastor quits his church. We have some Hiles Anderson graduates. Quit their churches. And one of them said to me, he said the folks wouldn't follow. Yeah, I know. Well, it's not your fault, honey, Buster. The fire did it. The folks did it. But my wife and children were suffering. Well, I know. The fire did it. But my children did without. I know. The fire did it. But I couldn't get anybody to follow me. Oh, I know. I know. And your fault. You're a wonderful man of God. You're a great preacher. You're the Dwight L. Moody of the next generation. And as soon as you can, as soon as the fire quits bothering you, you're going to make it. I want to serve notice on you. Mr. Moody went through the fire. Mr. Sunday went through the fire. Jonathan Edwards went through the fire. And the truth is this. The fire didn't do it. You got what it takes, you'll stick it out. Tell John Bunyan that the fire is a good reason to quit. 12 years he rotted in the Bedford jail. 12 years. Because he said he wouldn't, if he got out, he'd preach on the street. And they said, if you preach on the street, we'll keep you in jail. And John Bunyan said, If I get out of jail today, I'll preach on the street tomorrow. His little blind daughter came to his jail cell and said, Daddy, there's some good news for you. And Miss John Bunyan said, What is it, sweetheart? And she said, Daddy, they say you can leave jail and come home and be with Mommy and the family. John Bunyan said, How, sweetheart? And she said, Daddy, I've got some good news. You can come home. And John Bunyan said, On what condition? And she said, They just told us, Daddy, you can preach in the churches, but if you promise you won't preach on the street, you can come home. John Bunyan looked at the tear-stained eyes of his little blind daughter and said, Honey, you tell them, if I am let out of jail today, I'll preach on the street tomorrow. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain supported by thy word. We need some old-fashioned Christians that have some G-U-T-S. The fire did it. Tell David Livingston that as he walks away from the grave where the warm body of his wife is lying fresh in death. Tell him that when he was away from his wife for some time, probably months and months, maybe a few years, and dirty scavengers began to spread rumors about him. And he brought his wife to the African field. And she died, and he walks away from the grave that contains her body. Tell David Livingston that. The fire did it. The fire. You know, the honest truth is, I want to say this. We turn out more good kids since we have Christian schools, but we don't turn out as many great kids. I won't tell you why. We turn out more good kids. But you know, we turn out less preacher boys now than we did before we had a Christian school. And every Christian school teacher and principal in this room ought to cry himself to sleep tonight about that. We turn out less preachers now with 24,000 in Sunday school in the spring and fall than we did 15 years ago with 2,000 folks in Sunday school and no Christian school. I'm going to tell you why. We turn out more good kids. I think out of 81 high school graduates last year, 59 went to Christian colleges. Before, years ago, we wouldn't have had but 1 out of 10 go to Christian college probably. But wait a minute. We turn out less full-time workers now than we did then with a church a tenth the size of this and Christian schools the lower. I'll tell you why. Because a kid that used to go to school back in the days before we had a Christian school that was a good kid and had conviction, he had to suffer. He had to fight his way through. Well, I can recall right down at Hammond Tech when Hammond Tech was years ago. They had a big musical down there on a Wednesday night. And so the principal called and said, Pastor Hiles said, of our soloists, of our five soloists, three of them are First Baptist Church kids. And instead of our three pianists, two of them are First Baptist Church kids. And the principal said, they say they won't come and sing on Wednesday night. And he said, we've got to have your help. And I said, you have it, brother. Change your night. He said, could you come down and talk to the music? teacher. It was a female that he had on his hands. He didn't know what to do with. Well, I know what to do with him. So I went down and talked to her. And she was sitting in the principal's office, and he said, Dr. Hiles, Brother Hiles, Pastor Hiles, or Reverend Hiles, we've got a problem. Why, he said, we're expecting 500 folks at this musical. I said, we're expecting 1,200 Wednesday night. But he said, this has been planned for months. I said, our prayer meeting's been planned for 75 years. Every Wednesday night. And he said, I'll tell you, no, this is little Jesse, said, I'll tell you, little blonde, frizzly hair. She said, I'll tell you something, Reverend. If they don't come and sing and play, why, she said, we'll cut their grade. And I said, no, you won't. Not you cut the grade of every Jewish kid that's out for Hanukkah. No, you won't. I said, I'll go all the way to the Supreme Court And boy, right beside me, a bunch of our kids were proud of their preacher, and I was proud of my kids. And the principal said, we don't have the money nor the time to go to the Supreme Court. I said, I'll raise the money and take the time. But I said, I want to serve you. Notice now, you got somebody on your hands you can't handle. Because I said this, our kids have courageous conviction that Wednesday night is prayer meeting night, and that's where they're going to go. And our kids didn't go, and they changed the program to Tuesday night. You know, sometimes I wish some of our kids had to go through stuff like that again. And those kids got in the habit of standing and being right became a crusade for them. By the time they got out of high school, they're ready to preach. Why? Because the fire doesn't have to cause you to turn back in the fire. Remember years ago, and I haven't told this story for quite a while, and I want to hear it. I hadn't planned to tell it, but I'd love to hear it. Dave came home from high school out south of here, and he said, Dad, I got to read this book called Of Mice and Men by Steinbeck. And I said, son, you can't read that book. It's before we had a public high Christian school and so on. Dad, I said, you go back and tell him you can't read it. Your dad said you can't read it. They have no right to make my boy read filth. None. And so he went back and told the principal. The next night, Dave came home and said, Dad, the principal gave me a substitute book. It's called Catcher in the Rye. And I said, son, you can't read that. That makes Mice and Men look like a Sunday school quarterly. By the way, you know what I'm preaching is right. There's not a female in this house but what knows it's wrong to show your thighs to lustful men. You know it's true. You love to say, I still agree with Brother Hiles. No, you don't. So you're trying to impress somebody with your independence about that. You know what I preach is true. Everybody in this house knows every word I've said tonight's true, and you know it. I have two groups of folks that know it. Those that accept it and those that rebel. So, Dave said, Dad, I'm afraid to go back. I said, I'll go back with you. Next morning, bright and early, I went to the principal's office of that high school. I walked in. He said, hello, Reverend. Glad to see you again. It was not the first time he had seen me. He said, what can I do for you? I said, my boy is not going to read this book. Well, he said, we certainly will meet you halfway. I said, didn't come to meet you halfway. I came to make an announcement. My boy is not going to read this book. Well, he said, we'll give some, you give some. We'll find a meeting of the minds. I said, my mind is done stuck. And we're going to meet where my mind is. My boy is not going to read this book. He said, now, Reverend, he said, you got a bad spirit. And I said, yes, sir, and I intend to keep a bad spirit about you making my boy read filthy, vulgar, sex-oriented, heathen books. And then he said it. He said the magic word. He said, Reverend, when your boy comes to school, he is no longer your boy. Started in my toe. It worked its way up to my feet and ankles and calves, thighs and hips, stomach and chest and out my shoulder and arms and out my fingers. This burning sensation. Yee, hi, ho, hum. I want the blood of a principal man. Before I knew it, I'd climbed across that desk and had me two hands full of principal. He said, hold it, Reverend. We'll call the English committee in. We called the English committee in. They sat in a circle. I sat right in the middle. They sat in a circle. One of the basketball coaches said, Reverend, we're certainly here to cooperate. And I said, good, my boy's not going to read the book. Why, he said, Reverend, he said, I thought you were a man of the cloth in the first place. A preacher is not supposed to be a namby-pamby. He's supposed to stand for something, not fall for anything. He said, you're a man of the cloth. I said, what are you wearing? He said, Reverend, he said, we're willing to cooperate. I said, good, then my boy's not going to read the book. One little female English teacher. She weighed about 95 pounds, about 5'2". She didn't have a skirt, just had a blouse on. She stood up and started wiggling. She said, oh, man, in all of my life, I've never seen anybody
quite like you.
And I said, honey, where I came from, your type is mighty scarce too, thank God. Now it is January number eight, nine. You stay out of my preaching. January 9, 1983. And my boy still hasn't read that book. Now, I am convinced that when Dave saw that, that's one thing that caused him to want to go into ministry. I thank God for our schools. But I want to tell you something. One reason that we have turned out more good kids and not as many preacher boys and missionaries and full-time workers is our kids don't have the privilege anymore of being in the fire. Fire doesn't cause you to do bad. The fire can cause you to do good. I remember at Hammond Tech. I imagine she's here tonight. I think it's Hammond Tech. My little girl in our church named Pam Goodpastor. Pam was named after me. Pam Goodpastor. Pam, she couldn't go to our Christian school. We started it. She had to go to up here to Hammond Tech. If I make a mistake about what school it was, the story is still true. I think it's Hammond Tech. Pretty sure it was. Pam decided, though, she couldn't go to our school, and her heart was broken about it. She decided to be a good Christian testimony in the heathen school. She decided to take her Bible with her, wear nice, modest clothing, wear modest, length skirts to class. And Pam was there for those years of high school and made a wonderful record. They called her the Jesus girl. In her senior year, they got together and elected Jesus girl the homecoming queen for the homecoming football game. Put her, I think, on the back of a convertible or something, put some flowers in her hand, nice, pretty dress on her, and crowned her at halftime as queen of the homecoming. And the Hammond Tech band was going to play some song as she was being crowned. But the bandmaster felt like it wasn't appropriate for the Jesus girl. While they placed the crown on the head of the Jesus girl, the Hammond Tech heathen band played Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Now I'm going to tell you something. God Almighty is going to judge every single young person who walks the hallway of Hammond Baptist High School. If you don't turn out better than those kids did who went to heathen schools, you're going to face God someday for it. Yes, you are. I don't like your preaching. I could care less. I won't be calling you next Sunday about what to preach on either. The fire doesn't stop you. The fire didn't make you what you were. The fire of adversity doesn't make you wicked. The fire of adversity and the fire of not having a happy home, and the fire of not having a Christian school, and the fire of television, and the fire of the permissive society, and the fire of the playboy philosophy, that didn't make you, that's no reason for you to turn out bad. The fire did it. The fire doesn't make you what you are. The fire reveals what you were. It was in the fire that the Hebrew children stood. They said, "We'll not bow down and worship that golden image of the plains of Dura. We'll not." And the fire revealed their courage. It was in the fire that Daniel proved himself when he bowed to pray, as he always did. It was in the fire that Stephen saw Jesus. It was in the fire that Paul saw the third heaven. It was in the fire that John saw the future of the world. It was in the fire that John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. It was in the fire that Savonarola stood and died at the stake and said, "He wore a crown of thorns for me. I'll wear this crown for him." It was in the fire where Lester Olof became one of the great men in Bible times. It was in the fire where Lee Robertson became a great preacher when his little daughter was taken in death, and from that one event, the fire made that man what he is. It was in the fire where John Rice was made. With the age of 6, he said goodbye to his mother and was bounced around the rest of his childhood days. It was in the fire
where that great man revealed what he was. It was in the fire where Dr. Bill Rice became the great man he was. The fire of his little daughter having meningitis and fever going up to 105 and 106 and burning her eardrums where she couldn't hear, and she's deaf till this day, was in the fire where the Bill Rice Ranch was started. It was in the fire where J. Harold Smith one night dreamed that his little boy burned to death. Next day his wife called him and said, come home quickly. He went home and his little boy had burned to death exactly as his dream was the night before. It was in the fire where his ministry started. It was in the fire when Dr. Harold Seitler's little girl was crossing a highway and a drunk driver ran over and killed her. And in the fire, Harold Seitler was made. It was in the fire where Monroe Parker became the great evangelist that he is. His first wife and he were driving back from a revival campaign. Coming over a hill, a drunk driver went across the median and hit the car and killed his wife. It was in the fire. If you let me say this very, very kindly and without any kind of boasting whatsoever, whatever little ministry this preacher's had was brought through the fire. If you can't take the fire, you won't make it. The fire did it. I lost my job. The fire did it. I can't pay my bill. The fire did it. My mom doesn't love me. My dad never tells me. There's no love in our home. The fire did it. No, sir. You did it. And everybody from that person on the back of the corner up there to the one in the back corner up here, from that fellow back there in that corner to this person over here and in this choir, everybody in this room, you are going to give account of yourself to your God. The fire didn't do it. Aaron did it. The fire didn't do it. The people did it. And then after the fire reveals what you are, then the fire makes you what God wants you to be. Once you've proved yourself, and God qualifies you to make you. Every once in a while somebody says those poor college girls out there having to clean the hallway. Not poor. The fire is making them what they're going to be someday. And by the way, some of you guys looking for wives, you might better go looking for those little scrubbing gals out there. Oh, the poor college wife. The poor college wife. Now, I have sympathy and compassion for you college wives as long as you don't have it for yourself. But when you start having it for yourself, you've got enough. I haven't got time to give it. You've got enough without me. But I want to tell you something. The fire of being a wife at Hiles Anderson College will make your joy sweeter as long as you live if you'll go through that fire and do it gracefully. Poor one-parent children. The fire did it. Poor ladies alone rearing their children. Oh, the fire did it. And you take this Bible and you read it all the way through. And you'll find before God ever used anybody, God put him through the fire. No, the fire is not the reason you fail. Your rebellion is the reason you fail. The fire did it. No, the fire didn't do it. What? But how? I tried to see you and I couldn't see you and that's why I fell. The fire did it, didn't it? The fire did it. Well, I know. I was in the bus ministry and Brother Moffitt and Brother Young. Where's Brother Young? Huh? And Brother Moffitt, he didn't brag on me enough. That's why I quit. Yeah, the fire did it. Or I was in the choir, but Brother Ray wouldn't let me sing a solo. Won't you get called to preach and pastor a church for 23 years, then you can just sing all you want to sing. The fire did it. The fire did it. No, the fire didn't do it. The fire didn't do it. I love what the writer of Hebrews says about Moses and about the people of God who were boiled in water, boiled in oil, sown asunder. It said they were counted worthy. And it said Moses chose the reproach of Egypt greater riches, reproach for the people of God greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And I love what it says in Acts chapter 5, I think it is, 4 or 5, when those Peter and John went before the tribunal and they said, you can't preach anymore in his name. And they said, you decide whether we can preach or not, but as soon as we get through here, we're preaching. And they beat them. And the Bible says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They said, thank God for the fire. Thank God for the fire. And tonight it's time that you got out from behind the fire. It's time you got out from behind that little golden calf. Said the fire did it. I tell you what. Every time I get in a room somewhere and turn the news on, and they interview some of these people. I heard one of this big black leaders of the day said, if we don't do so and so for the black people, they have no other choice but to loot. And that's the whole society. And somebody said, if we don't get our welfare checks, we have no choice but to walk the streets and commit crime. Now that's the devil's lie. The fire did it. We can't find work, and that did it. We are a minority mistreated people, and that did it. If you want to find a minority mistreated people, you're looking at one of them right now. I mean, fundamentalists. There's nobody in America that's more mistreated than fundamentalists. But that doesn't give us a right to loot and steal and go into crime. You're going to answer to God what you do. If you never saw the inside of a Christian school, if your dad and mother divorced and your mother reared you by herself and never told her she loved you and you never met your dad, if nobody ever encouraged you and you never saw a ball game and no dad ever took you fishing and no mother taught you how to sew and no Sunday school teacher ever loved you or cared for you, you're still going to face God for yourself. And excuses won't do it. They said the fire did it. The fire did it. And Moses ground, I love this. He ground that. Moses didn't say, what we got to do is raise taxes. We got to pay these folks more money so they won't riot. Moses took that golden calf and ground it up into powder and poured it in the water and made calf cream, half and half. And Moses said to the Israelites, he said, drink it. Drink it! He said, this is your calf. Drink it. Drink it! And then Moses drew a line and said, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Moses went up back up to heaven after taking care of that job. He said, Lord, did you make a file copy of those commandments? Did you type that in duplicate? This is in the Hebrew. And the Lord said, yeah. I got it under C for commandments, T for 10. Moses said, Lord, I had a little problem with that original. He said, what happened? And he said, the fire did it. And the Lord said, Moses, I got another copy. And God sent an angel. I'm sorry, two angels is heavy. And took that extra copy. And Moses took it back. And the people of God found out that the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. I'm talking to folks all over this room tonight. Been blaming everything but the person that ought to be blamed. And that's the person that you shave in the morning, fellas. And that's the lady whose hair you curl, ladies. The person you see in the morning when you first go to the bathroom and look in the mirror. Every man must give an account of himself to God. And you won't be able to look at God and say, I didn't turn out right. I did wrong. I turned back. But Lord, the fire did it. Father, bless the message. Help our people to be convicted tonight. My soul, my soul, my soul. Help some people who've been blaming everything but self.